This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
So started looking at the drafts, what they did in the last 3 years and what they did before that. Here's what I came up with. The reason the 49ers are the 49ers as you know them right now, a large reason for that is because they got stars in core players from 2017 through 2020 in the draft. So 2017, you get George Kittle, one of the top two tight ends in the NFL. He's making $20 million or whatever it is. They gave him a second contract. He is a core blue chip player. 2018, you draft Fred Warner in the third round, probably the best linebacker in the league. Another huge contract guy that you keep around. 2019, you get Bosa, Debo, and Greenlaw. All guys, again, second contracts, core players. Greenlaw's a top 10 linebacker. Bosa is a former defensive player of the year. Debo's a former All-Pro. And then 2020, you get Ayuk. During that time, they also gave a second contract to Eric Armstead, who was drafted by a different regime, but still a homegrown player. So over that four-year period, you have seven guys who are homegrown and absolute core blue chip great players. And I don't mean like you could draft a good player. Mike McGlinchey was a good pick, regardless of what you think of him. He played for five seasons. He started for five seasons. He didn't get a second contract. So he wasn't an elite player, but it was a good pick. But when you're talking elite of the elite, the Niners have had six of them in those 4 years. Every year they got an elite player in the draft in those 4 years. That's why you see the team on the field that you see now. The last 3 years, Brian, I'd argue maybe they haven't drafted maybe one elite player. And I'll go through it with you why I think that. So if you look at 21, I'm sorry, the Lance draft, they take Lance, complete bust. Aaron Banks, again, maybe that's a good pick. If, you know, I don't know that he had the best season, but maybe he's a guy that plays guard for them for a while, but he's not a core game changer like a Kittle or a Warner. Nobody's going to say, you could call him a good pick, but nobody's going to say that's an elite pick. He's not Alan Faneca. You know, he's not Larry Allen. Trey Sermon, obviously not. Ambry Thomas probably won't be on the team much longer. Jalen Moore, no. Lenore, terrific pick in the fifth round. Hufanga, also terrific pick in the fifth round. Those are two guys who maybe we'll stay. So they could be guys who, as we get into 2025, that maybe are part of the answer. Maybe you're still building around them. Are they cornerstone blue chip guys? Maybe that remains to be seen. They're both really good players, so you could say that. And then Elijah Mitchell, who was a good pick, but he's not going to get a second contract. Then you look at 2022. Drake Jackson doesn't look like that's working out. TDP, he's gone. Danny Gray can't get on the field. Spencer Burford is rotating at guard. I think that's a position you need to upgrade. Sam Womack, Nick Sakel, Kalia Davis, Castro Fields. Nothing there to write home about. And then you have Brock Purdy, who I think is the one guy in these three drafts that you could say is a blue chip cornerstone guy for sure. And then this year's, this past draft, we don't know. But Jair Brown, starter. I think he could be a starter. I don't think he's going to be a cornerstone blue chip guy. Jake Moody's a kicker. Cameron Latu looked like he should have been cut in the preseason. Luter, Beal, Winters, Braden Willis, Bell, Graham. Maybe a couple of the linebackers work out, you know, D Winters works out. But again, you can't look at any of these guys and say they're blue chip cornerstone guys. Mm-hmm. So that's what worries me about the last 3 years. When you look at those drafts, you have maybe three players, maybe, that you can say, yeah, when 2025 hits, these guys are going to be on the team for the next 5 or 6 years, and they're going to be starters, and you build around them. Definitely Purdy, maybe Lenore, probably Hufanga, if his knee comes back, okay. But they didn't get, I don't think, in those drafts, a Kittle, a Debo, an Ayuk, a Bosa, a Warner. These people that have made the 49ers the 49ers, they haven't gotten them these last three drafts. That's why this draft is huge. They have to get not only impact guys, but guys that are going to be cornerstones to build around in 2025, when you may not have George Kittle, when you may not have a Trent Williams, when McCaffrey's 30 years old, when maybe Debo is possibly not on the team. They have to start getting that second wave of the core, and they have to start that now.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, it's arguably the most important draft that they've had since 2019, when they had the second overall pick and got Nick Bosa. Like you said, they've been able to weather the Trey Lance debacle, largely because they got Brock Purdy, and mm-hmm. they were already a really good team that was snake bit by injuries in 2020. So they had a higher draft pick that they were able to parlay into, you know, the trade up for Lance. And so, you know, a lot of times people like to trivialize the loss of those first round picks because this team is so good that those first round picks are glorified second rounders, but there's still an advantage of having a first round pick, and that's the fifth year option, which, you know, is a great tool for teams to have when it comes to roster building, because, you know, you would argue that those first round picks are tend to be the most talented, you know, in the draft. And so to be able to get that fifth year at a, you know, at a lower cost, and then parlay that into an extension or whatever, that is an advantage. And so the reality is the Trey Lance trade and the failure of Trey Lance, the roster problems are coming home to roost now, mm-hmm. right? And that's what you're talking about, the lack of depth, the lack of future at left or right tackle, the lack of future at defensive end opposite Nick Bosa, the lack of future at tight end. Right. The lack of future, you know, I like where they are in the secondary, which is interesting to me because that used to be a real weakness of this team. And mm-hmm. as it stands now, you know, I think they could extend Ward again to another 2 or 3 year contract and maybe lower his cap hit this season. And now you've got Mooney Ward and Lenore, and then, you know, try and bring in another guy from the draft. Right. But I like where the secondary is. They're young, you know, even with Hufanga and Brown and Lenore and even Mooney Ward, who I think is only still 27, if not 28. But I don't like where they're at with their linebacking core, because we just haven't seen a lot. We didn't see really anything from D Winters or Jalen Graham. D Winters seemed to me, when he was drafted, to be kind of that eye towards being a Greenlaw replacement, but we never really saw him on the field, so it's hard to know what they have in him. I imagine we're going to see more of him. But along the offensive line, you see it. You know, it's a really, outside of Trent Williams, who is the rising tide that lifts all boats, it's a pretty piss poor offensive line. Aaron Banks played well last season, didn't play as well this season.
Wasn't as good this year.
And then Jake Brendel is just average at center.
And he's 33. Jake Brendel is not a 26-year-old dude. Yeah. Jake Brendel's been around for a while. He's getting to be in his mid-30s.
Yeah, and right guard is just a black hole like it has been, and right tackle is a black hole like it has been.
Yeah, you need
like,
an upgrade.
They just haven't addressed some of these things, and those are the both Super Bowl losses can be attributed to that offensive line, and yet they still refuse to address it or put the necessary investment of capital, whether that be a free agent like Mike Nwenu, who I think would be huge for them, or you know, an early round pick at tackle. You know, they didn't have a first round pick last year, didn't have a second round pick, but there were some third round picks at tackle that started in the NFL this past season and looked really good. Now, whether they were a fit for them or not, hard to know. Obviously, if they didn't take them, I would assume they thought they weren't, but it's still, as a fan, hard to be like, you saw this coming and you thought McKivitz was the answer. And why, like, what did you see from McKivitz that made you think that he was the answer at right tackle? And again, why aren't we addressing right guard? Like Spencer Burford, isn't it? But yeah, this is to me, this is the most important draft for the future of this team since 2019. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because this will be the first draft without Adam Peters. Lynch announced today that Tariq Ahmad is essentially been elevated to that role. He's not assistant GM, but he is now director of pro player personnel. And there was another name, and I don't remember, who has been elevated to director of pro personnel. But this will be their first draft without who a lot of people attribute to the late round success for this 49ers team, and that is Adam Peters. He's not there anymore. So where they've made their hay in the later rounds, can they continue to do that without Peters leadership? And then can they draft players in the first, second, and third round, which have been really, really bad rounds for them? They've been really bad at drafting in the first, second, and third round, which is wild when you consider how much talent is on the team. And then you look and it's like, well, yeah, that, you know, outside of Fred Warner, nothing in the third round, you know, but in the fourth and fifth round, you've got guys like Kittle and Greenlaw and, Hufanga, you know, Lenore, Hufanga yeah. and Lenore. And right. And you're like, where's that DJ success? Jones, where's that success? Really in, yeah. DJ Jones was a sixth round pick. Where's that success in the early round? So, you know, I'm really intrigued by what it is that they do in this draft and whether or not they recognize the shortcomings of that offensive line and sink a lot of capital in it in this draft. I think they need to come away with a starting right tackle and a starting right guard from this draft if they're going to fix anything that has kept them from winning a Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019 and now in 2023.